Our sermon text for this third Sunday after Epiphany is going to be taken from 1 Corinthians, and we're going to read from chapter 12. We're going to read verses 12 through 31, and seeing this is an epistle, you can remain seated. And as this is King James, it's kind of wordy on my part, so I'm going to try to read slower. And let's read this in Jesus' name. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 12, reading through 31. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all members of that body, that one body, being many, are one body, so is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacketh, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, then the members suffer with it. One member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and all members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, thirdly teachers, and after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities, and tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? And do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Amen. Let us unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. We ask the strength and the encouragement of your Holy Spirit that you may speak, that you would sanctify us in the truth, for we know your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This part of Corinthians is really something to consider. In other words, we have a tendency, as I spoke about a little bit last week, we have a tendency to just have a tradition preaching things in a certain way, and that can be the only way in a lot of people's opinions. But reading this text really, to me, brings out something that we can sometimes miss. That we are very valuable. And sometimes in our understanding or in our heritage, whatever you may be, a lot of us happen to be Finlanders, more or less, we have this kind of pride. But yet, our pride is kind of interesting in this way that we are not to think much of ourselves. And we take pride in that. And I don't mean to make fun of it. We all have that tendency. In other words, we have this sisu, this great pride that we are the people. and this strong heritage. But then when we get in public, we must often feel like that we have to downplay ourselves, that we're really not that valuable. And it's kind of a quandary. Either you are valuable or you're not. And see, it doesn't come from the depiction of who we think we are, but really it should come as a Christian for us of who God thinks that we are. And when you turn around and you look at the understanding of how we place value on certain things in this world, we very strongly can go to an economic standard. We'll turn around and we'll go to a certain store and we'll say, a gallon of milk costs us $3.57. And we have to make the decision in our mind, are we willing to part with that $3.57 for that gallon of milk? Is it valued right? We may find a beautiful ring that we want to impress our wives with, or our girlfriends, or hopefully a fiancé. And we'll put a value on how much we love her, sometimes in our mind, by saying how much we should spend on that ring. We might turn around and say, well, you know, I make about $300 a week, and I should spend basically about $2,400, 2 months' salary on a ring. We put a value. If we were to stop and to see how valuable we are, it would really sober us up to consider that God gave us His only begotten Son. That He redeemed us. That He paid for the penalty of our sin debt. And Paul understood this very, very greatly. And he speaks to a bunch of Gentiles. He speaks to a bunch of Gentiles in Corinth. And he opens up this chapter by saying, you know what? This is what we understand. You guys were all Gentiles before. You all chased after all these other false gods. And God has called you from that. He says, and we understand this. He has not only called you from that, but He has given you the inspiration of His Holy Spirit in your lives. And you know that no one can make testimony of Jesus Christ and carry and also badmouth Him, if you were to say it in that way. He turns around and He shows us the great price that was paid for each and every one of us and the honor that we would hold for Him. And He comes across then continuing saying, if God has started this work in you, He says, then He also will complete it, and He has given you all different gifts and different abilities. And that's something that I think that we face in this day and age very, very often. We may not equate it to spiritual things. We're very fast to say someone has a music ability. Very fast to say someone is good with numbers. Someone is excellent at craftsmanship. Someone is excellent at dealing with people. We turn around and we understand these qualities in individuals all the time. But to turn around and to understand that it is your God that has given you these abilities. And to understand that these abilities are not just for selfish intention, but rather that we also would further the kingdom of God in and through everything that we do. It's not just having a relationship with our God on a Sunday morning. It is tomorrow morning when we get up and we go about our day-to-day business that we bring the gifts and the abilities that He's given to us into the world. And that while we follow through with our abilities and our talents, that we never, ever bring any bad publicity to Jesus Christ. And He says it's impossible even. Because you are His children. And so when He carries on in this part, He starts off in the beginning of the chapter naming all the great gifts that were given. And given to many different individuals. And then He very strongly comes into our part, and for the sake of time, we have to continue forward into the message that's here. He says, for just as the body is one and has many members, He says, and all the members are part of that body, He says, though in reality, He said, this is exactly how it is with Jesus Christ. You can take your physical body, and you can look at it.
And you can see that we have many different parts of this body. And there's not really a single part that I'm willing to get rid of. We've even heard it said before, if you had to get rid of one of your senses, which one would it be? Would you get rid of taste? Would you get rid of smell? Would you get rid of hearing? Would you get rid of seeing? Would you get rid of feeling? And really, that comes down to kind of an interesting conversation. In other words, even in the senses, which one are you willing to get rid of? Now talk about your members. If you were to lose a hand, I mean, how many times? I have a friend that he had just had surgery because he tore some tendons in here. And it was on his right hand. And that's the first thing I said to him. I said, "Wow, that's bad. It's your right hand, isn't it?" And he's like, "Oh, I couldn't write really good anyways, but now it's really bad." We have a tendency to look at someone when they have a broken hand. The first thing we'll say is, "Well, are you right-handed or left-handed?" We see the importance of that ability to use that member. And so he says very straightforward, we are all different parts, but of the same body. And what I'm trying to bring across in this is that every single one of us is valuable and important. I talked to the Sunday school kids about this a little bit. But the fact of it is, this is really something that I think we need to understand. Not only are you valuable and you important, but I think also on the correct understanding, I am too. Now you can turn around in the audience and you can say the same thing. Not only are all of you important, but I am too. God has given purpose for each and every one of us. God has given us the ability to live in this world. And He encourages us through His Holy Spirit. And so really what Paul is saying is, you know what? We understand, just as the human body is made up of many different parts, it is one body. He said, and it's no different in the kingdom of God, in Jesus Christ. He says, for in one spirit we've been all joined together, baptized, brought into this body. He says, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free, we have all participated. We have all taken in that same gift. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to those that are found in faith. And he says, it doesn't matter whose boy you are or where you come from. It doesn't matter of your bloodline. It doesn't matter of who in reality you are. We have all been joined together through that same spiritual food. And to see that value. He says, for the body does not consist of one member, but actually many different units, many members. Just as we can look in this room. And I think we can go well beyond this room, and we can look out into this world. We could turn around and we could actually sit there and argue over denomination. But how can we not say it's an extension of the body? Turns around and really speaks personally, I think, to the reader, to the hearer, because this would be read to them. But I think he speaks very personally to them. And I think he speaks very personally because this is actually, I think, something that someone would read and take personally. In other words, it's not talking about everybody else out there. This next part, I believe, he's speaking to the individual that would self-examine. Verse 15, he continues on and he says, if the foot, being the position that we're looking from, the foot. He says, if the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body. Now this is from a very personal position. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt, well, because I can't do this, or I can't do that, I really don't belong here. I don't have the gift. I'm not like them. And see, that's what I think we miss when we read through this so fast. And when we read it, and I don't mean any disgrace towards the King James, but we don't understand the sing-songiness. We don't understand the poetic side of it. But to really look at what he's saying here, he says, if the foot should turn around and say to himself, because I'm not the hand, I don't belong to the body. I'm an outsider. I have no ability to fit in. But then the question turns around, and I love how this is laid out. He says, that would not make it any less a part of the body. In other words, just because one would think that of themselves doesn't mean that the body has no use for them. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I would speak the same to you. That maybe you may not see yourself as a knight in shining armor or some great victor that can come in and just really bolster up the congregation. But there's not a single one of you that I would not want to be here. We all have a vital part and a vital role within the kingdom of God because we are all given the power of His Holy Spirit and we are all encouraged to move throughout this world and impact people where we may. The foot, if you could say it in a visual, comes in contact with what? The ground each and every day, where the hand doesn't. You will impact places that nobody else can. Don't ever think that you don't have a value, and don't ever think that you don't belong. Because Christ has paid the same price for you as He has for me. And He has given you the ability to be who you are, and He's called you to be more. Just as He has for me. And this is what I think He very strongly says. He says, now very, very inwardly, if the foot was to say of itself, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body. He says, that wouldn't even make it true. He says, or what if the ear should say, once again, very, very personally, the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't have that important job of seeing everything, that I'm not part of the body. That wouldn't make it any true. Comparing ourselves with others. Do you think the Gentiles did this with the Jews? Because that's what he's speaking about here. He's turning around and he's saying, you Gentiles, we know where you were before. We understand that. You followed all these other false gods. And now God has called you over to our way. And you might turn around and say, well, who am I? Who am I? Did Moses say it? Go speak to Pharaoh. Well, who am I? What do I do? Walk in there and say, God said? Yes. You go in there, and you be empowered with my Spirit, and you do what I called you to do. And we know how that turned out. Very well. So you have this kind of turning inwardness, this negative attitude of, who am I? And what impact could I have? He turns around and he says, if the body, the whole body was an eye. In other words, if that was the whole function, the whole body was doing nothing but see. What would we miss when we can't hear? What would we miss when we can't move? What would we miss when we can't grasp? What would we miss when we can't taste? Can't smell? It's an interesting thing. Everyone is important. All are needed. All are really the gift of God. He says, but as it is, God arranged all the members in the body, each one of them He has chosen. I think this brings us really to the point of the importance that we have. God has given you the gift. The ability, your position, to understand that this is the calling of God, to know that He has set us in that position. And we might turn around and we'll say, oh, Pastor, what position are you talking about? Any position. God has given you the ability to be a lover to this world where other people will not love, an encourager. God has given you the ability to be a mother, a father, a cousin, an uncle, an aunt, an inspiration in someone's life. God has given you the ability to be good at math, good at building, good at cooking, baking, whatever it may be, to bring pleasure to other people. God has given you all these abilities. For what purpose? So that we would not only encourage one another in this body, but that we would also bring light to the body, that there would be gifts and abilities available, that people would say, what is that? It is the gift of God working in His kingdom. People have done miraculous things throughout history in the faith that they have in their God. They've been able to reach heights that no one else could ever reach because they believe that their God has put them there. And it is not about toting the flesh. It is actually honestly celebrating the life that God has given us. And I think sometimes that's quite shameful when I talk about our false humilities and when I talk about even our heritage, saying we're someone great, but boy, we're not worth much. We have a tendency to follow suit at this. And it seems like we have a tendency to follow suit with this. Let me give you an example at funerals. At funerals, we feel like we can't uplift the man. I'm not talking about uplifting the man in who he was in himself. I'm talking about celebrating the victories that the individual had through Jesus Christ. Celebrating the life he lived or she lived in and through Jesus Christ. Celebrating her abilities or his abilities to parent, to do all kinds of things. Do you understand who you are in him? You might be saying, well, now this pastor, he's going nuts. He's preaching a prosperity gospel. No, I'm preaching in reality that we are the children of King. We are the children of a King. And he is mighty and he is gracious and he has given us abilities beyond measure. And we need to stand strong and firm, not in who we are as a fleshly human being, but in who he is and who he has given us the ability to be. And this really is what Paul is saying, because he's taking these people that were outside of the camp for so many generations, and he was really exposing to them, I understand how you were, but that's not how you are anymore. Do you understand who you are in Jesus Christ? And the same question is here for us. Do we know who we are in Jesus Christ? We are more than conquerors through him who has loved us. And it is very interesting because oftentimes we become overwhelmed because we let the world dictate to us who we are. We let the world dictate. And that is not the truth. Paul says, we all have these abilities. We all have these gifts. Don't turn around and look at yourself and say, I have no part in this. He says, because if we didn't have these different gifts, then the whole body would suffer. Would suffer. To actually appreciate those around us. He says, God is the one to give these positions. He says, if all were a single member, where would the body even be? We'd be individual little temples running around saying, I'm the right one. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, because we do that with our religion. Not Christianity. We do it with our religion. We make little temples saying, we are the only ones. What a bunch of garbage that is. It is Jesus Christ and him alone. There is no other name. It's not according to denomination. It's not according to whose boy you are. It's according to the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says we would just be all little members. There would be no body. He says, as it is, there are many parts, but yet one body. Individuals. Individuals, left individuals, will not build the kingdom. So the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Now this is where it is an exclusive. It's me looking out, not at myself and saying, boy, I don't belong. This is actually me now looking out and saying, you don't belong. This is the other attitude. He says, if the eye were to say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you, what would that do? I have need of these feet. And if I couldn't walk for some reason, I would have need of my hands to push a wheelchair, whatever it is. But the importance is that we have need of all these parts of our body. And this word tells us that we have need. The body of Jesus Christ has need of each and every one of you. One of the most famous statements that people have a tendency to say is, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church. I can go out in the woods and worship my God. You know what? You're right. You can. You can go out in the woods and worship your God. You can do your thing and feel justified in that. But this is my opinion, and chastise me if you want. That's selfish. That's selfish. Because we need you. And that's what we lose sight of. I do believe that we're wrong when we make that statement. We need the fellowship and the encouragement and the unity of the body. But even to have that attitude is selfish, because you know what? The church needs you. We need each and every one of you to be a living part of this body that we can encourage and strengthen and grow together. That we can do what? Magnify the goodness of God. That we could continue to go out into this world and have an impact. To turn around and say, I have no need of that, actually, in my opinion, is quite selfish. He says, basically, he says this is quite contrary. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker actually are very, very valuable. And we understand this. We understand there's parts of our body that we can't even see because they're hidden within. And I'll tell you, there's not many of them that you wouldn't want. I kind of like my liver. I kind of like my kidneys. I think they do a great job. I guess you can give one up and still continue to survive. But boy, why would the other person want your kidney? Because it sounds like it's pretty important, isn't it? Probably not the most beautiful part of your body, is it? It's not one that you take a picture of and put on your wall and say, this is my kidney, isn't it beautiful? But try to live 3 days without them. Pretty important, isn't it? Paul is actually talking very, very, very sensitively here, because he's actually talking more about the difference between men and women and those kind of parts of the body. And so for the audience, we'll just leave it at the liver for now. But the fact of it is, there are very, very interesting parts of the body that don't have much honor, but actually they're very, very honorable because they're very important for us to continue in this life and to have this life continue, to allow this kingdom to continue to grow. He says, and we treat these with modesty, don't we? Most of the time we do. He says, and now we actually, he says, those parts that are not very presentable, he says, actually, we treat them with very, very great kindness. And what I'm trying to come to in this, and this is a real stretch, so please forgive me because I'm trying to stay away from the subject of the sexual organs. But taking those parts that oftentimes people don't want to deal with, but understanding really the true importance of those organs. We also have that within our kingdom. We have parts that where oftentimes people are like, you know, well, this isn't really something that we want to show off. But actually, it's the most important part. And if I could dare stretch out on liberty here, and I know I'm speaking kind of fleshly here, but I'm trying to give an example. If we have someone that really has had a hard life and lived a very, very difficult life, and maybe we're not so proud of all of those things, and sometimes, you know, we just kind of want to pretend it's not there, and we're excited that they're here, we're excited that they're going through this change. But actually, those are the most honored. Because brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And I'm telling you the honest truth. He can change lives. And He can bring honor to the most undesirable. And this is our God. If I was to go to New England and I was to stand up before a lot of the congregations out there, they'd laugh me out of the church most likely. I don't know if they would. I've gone out there and they've treated me with kindness. But if they only understood and remembered who I was rather than who I am, they would want to hide me in the back closet. But yet I think it's a testimony that God can take even a sinner such as myself and allow me to be changed, allow me to be converted, to be able to proclaim this truth. And it's an honor to stand before you every Sunday and proclaim this truth. And it's an honor for me, and it's not just words, to see all of your different gifts and abilities. And it's an honor. It's an honor to see God change lives and allow me to see that lives can be changed. And I don't want to hide those things. I don't want to make a public dog and pony show out of it. But let's give honor to those that God has really taken and shown change and continue to allow them to grow. Let's not be ashamed. So sometimes what I'm saying is we're so ashamed of our past that we don't ever want to speak about it. It's not that I want to relish in who I was. I really, in all honesty, just want to bring honor and glory to God for what He has made me to be. And it's the same for you. It's the same for each and every one of you. There is no past that's too dark. There is no sin that is too grave upon this earth that Jesus Christ Himself can't redeem you from. And there is nothing, nothing that can be done
that makes you invaluable. You are a child of God, and He has paid for the penalty of your sin, and He has called you to be part of this body. Be proud, be strong, and stand firm in His Spirit, and be part of the body. For Jesus' name's sake, amen.